Hello everyone, this is Professor Venkat S. Iyer. Some of you know me. This is an introductory module to start this book titled as Learning and Development. It's a warm-up. So here, I just want to give you the purpose of studying this particular subject and what are the 13 chapters which are written by me to prepare the book is comprising. Okay, we have all heard about this popular process called training and development in organizations. Training and development, right? Now here you must have come across this term called learning and development in the recent years. Last about two decades we are using this term called learning and development. It's not a buzzword, it's not a jargon, it's got some important connotation. The word training has been replaced by the word learning. So why learning is what this book is all about. It's not that we have changed the title from training and development to learning and development. It's a totally different ball game, a deeper issue. So what I'm essentially covering in this is the various aspects of what is learning and development. Some of them may look like an overlap on training and development, but they are a little different. I would like all of you to go through the video and the book from that point of view. It's very important, right? To give you some background about me, I'm a trainer, corporate trainer, specialized in an area called neuro-linguistic programming. And training and development has been a part of the company which I own for the last about 25 years. So when I write this book, I'm writing with a certain practical experiences which I would like to also share and narrate with all of you. If you notice the book has got, at the end of every chapter, there is an author's perspective about the particular chapter is given, wherein I've given you a certain practical view about what you're learning in the theory form. So every attempt has been done to ensure that what you're learning is what you actually see in the industry. So here we have Introduction to Learning and Development, chapter number one, where I'll be introducing you to what is L&D. And the various aspects to this. Then we go to chapter number two, theories of learning, wherein we talk about the approaches. What are the framework on which the learning process is based? Chapter number three deals with training needs assessment and analysis, which means anything that you go through, any type of learning you go through, that learning has to be calibrated. If you are listening to me, for example, you must calibrate how much of what I've told you is understood by you, right? Calibration tells us in what direction we are learning and in what direction we are progressing. It's very important. Chapter number four is coming to the crux of the training programs which we create, the learning and development programs, designing it. What is designing? Structuring it. For structuring something, I need to have what I need to structure. What am I addressing? How to go about delivering it? All the designing part of it, the creative part of the module, the training module is what we are covering in chapter number four. Chapter number five is about how to implement it. What we popularly call as a delivery. We need to deliver the training program to the audience. How do we go about implementing it? What are the various complexities? What are the various types of, you know, factors to be considered? That's covered in chapter number five. Then we go on to chapter number six, where we talk about selection and training of trainers. Now, this is a very crucial thing. We say that the trainer makes or breaks the training program's effectiveness. We say the trainers make or break the effectiveness of the training program. So the selection of the training program and also training the trainer, which is all about learning, the trainer knowing the skills about what he's supposed to do, is very important. So this chapter 6 is again a very crucial chapter. Chapter number 7 is covering methods of training. Now different audiences require different types of learning process. A fresher group of people, say management trainees in a corporate scenario, may require a certain methodology of putting the things across so that they learn in that particular fashion. A slightly experienced group of people may have a different method of training. So here we are covering which audience and for which purpose, which method of training we need to adopt. That is chapter number 7. In chapter number 8, we talk about the transfer of training, very, very crucial. I may prepare the best of the modules with the best of data collected from the company, understanding my audience, etc. And I may deliver it to the audience in the training program. But the transfer is very, very important. When you're listening to me, my dear friends, for example, right now, the transfer of what I'm talking happens to you only when you have understood what I am saying. Underline the word understood. When you understand what I am saying, we both are in sync. The transfer of training is very crucial. It calibrates and it checks the skills and the effectiveness of the trainer and also the training audience, the people who are listening to the training. This transfer is very essential. Going to chapter number 9, we are discussing challenges faced in training, which is very, very crucial. Training is very, very tricky because we're dealing with human behavior, human beings. In a training, what are we doing? We are trying to change behaviors of people. And we come with certain assumptions. So there are many, many challenges we face. I'll narrate it when we come to those subsequent chapters. Chapter number 10 is training evaluation measurement. Ultimately, every training needs to be measured, evaluated, because a training has to serve the purpose for which the organization is conducting it or making the trainer conduct it. So how do you evaluate it? How do you measure it? Because anything measurable is possible to be delivered and replicated. Very important. So there should be some measurement means. Chapter 11, we talk about e-training, training which is happening in the net, where the physically the audience is not in front of you. Like the COVID is going on and people are into Zoom sessions, into WebEx sessions and all that. Those are the e-training, right? And we go to chapter number 12, moving from training to performance consulting, which is a very broader picture. It's not about only one particular aspect about the employees. It's about the larger aspect of the employees with respect to the company's requirements, performance consulting. It's a very up and coming part of business today. And then chapter number 13, we have got training in corporate India. How this training is applicable in corporate India? What is the scenario in India? Is it the same as what is happening in the advanced countries? Have we evolved? What are our challenges? Suffice it to say, a training module which is applicable in, say, company X in India, the same training module may not be applicable in the same company X, which has a branch in, let's say, Australia or in US. So what are the training challenges? What are the training things happening in India is what we'll be covering in chapter number 13. So this is in short about the flow, about what we are going to be doing in this particular book, right? So I want all of you to stay tuned and look at learning and development from a very broader context. There was a time when you were the one person who was going through training and that was all. But you are not alone now. Today we look at you as an integrated entity of the whole organization. So when you're integrated, whatever you do, it affects the department, the company, and then everybody is wanting that all of us are in tandem with each other. Hence, the term learning and development. Okay, friends. So with this, I'm going to the chapter number 1. I'm welcoming you to go to chapter number 1, which is titled as Introduction to Learning and Development. Introduction to Learning and Development. We'll try to build up bit by bit to make us understand how this is structured and how it is conducted. Here we are on the first screen, introduction, which is talking about planning. Planning is not unknown to any management student. Is the first process which we learn in principles of management. You set a goal first and then you set out to do planning. In simple terms, what is a planning? Organizing resources on a timeline for actions to be done in the future. I have a very simple definition. What is planning? Organizing resources and also activities to be done on a timeline of the future. For the purpose of what? For the purpose of attaining a goal. This is what is planning. It's a timeline, structuring of activities to be done. So the point number one on the screen is planning refers to the development of human resources, policies and regulations. Now planning is all encompassing. It's there for every department where we are. Now we talk about HR part of it, which is our relevance to what we are talking here. So in this case, planning refers to the development of human resources, policies and regulations. Every department needs to have its own policies, its regulations and how to go about structuring it based on the company's requirement, the company's vision, its value system, etc., etc. So that's point number one. Point number two, it says HRM department attempts to determine future HRM activities and plans for HRM procedures to achieve company goals. What are the things we need to do? The HR department decides the planning of HRM, HR planning as you call it. What are the activities we need to do based on the company goals of the future? Year after year, every company goes through new goals, which are always higher than the earlier year's goals. And every time you're going for a higher goal, obviously all of us will know, our common sense tells us that if I'm trying to achieve a higher goal, I need to have a different behavior. I need to develop myself. That is development. If as of today, I'm achieving 100 units of production, next year, company is expecting me to produce more than 100 units. It may be 200 units. And consistently, not in a day or two or something, consistently I must produce 200 units. I must go to that higher level. The point is, do I have the behavior? Do I have the skills to go to that higher level? That is where development becomes a bridge between today's performance and tomorrow's performance. A bridge between tomorrow's performance and day after tomorrow's performance. So these activities which have to be done are all put into the HRM plan. Going over to this next slide which you see on your screen, we are talking about implementation. After planning comes what? Implementation. Putting it into action. So the plan is put on the paper in a soft copy or a hard copy, whatever. And then it goes to the stage of how to go about delivering it. How to go about making it happen. Implementation, as the slide shows, point number one, it involves four primary activities, four. The first one is acquisition. Second is development. Third one is compensation. And the fourth one is maintenance. I'll repeat. Acquisition, development, compensation and maintenance. All the four of them have got equal significance and we must remember to give importance to every one of them. HR professionals who are listening to me, do you know it better? Those of you who are planning to become HR professionals should realize that when you start working in an HR department, that too in a training, a learning and development department, you'll come across some of these four not being given much of attention. They may give attention to development, but not to compensation. They may give attention to acquisition, but not to maintenance. It's possible. Now, you as an HR professional listening to me should realize that every one of the four is important and you must see to it that each of the four is equally given weightage in terms of preparation, attention, etc. It's important. Now, point number two, what does it say? It says that acquisition. What is acquisition? It entails hiring employees most suitable to attain the company goals. Underline the word most suitable. The right person for the right job, we say in HRM. So acquisition is involving hiring employees, recruiting and selecting employees into the company, suitable employees to attain the company goal. Now suitable is very, very tricky. At the time of interview, there are so many things that can happen or cannot happen. So acquisition is a skill. And in acquisition, we have what is called as acquisition efficiency also, which means if I'm interviewing 10 candidates and I want to find a suitable candidate for my company, for the profile for which I'm interviewing, I need to know how suitable these people are. That's a skill. So the acquisition cannot be taken for granted. Quite a few organizations I've noticed as a trainer, you know, they take people because they want people. They just take people because they want people. What does it mean? They say there's a desperation. We need a manpower. They say we'll take that person, put him on the job, and then we'll ensure that the person grows. It need not always happen. So at the acquisition stage is a gate entry of the employee to the organization. It's important that at the gate entry, the gatekeeper, has to ensure that the right person walks in. This is a very tricky thing, and you can, well, most of you will realize that people with experience who are sitting in the interview panel would be in a better position to understand who is a suitable candidate. This is not to say that the people with less experience are not suitable, but there is a certain amount of life experience that is required to ensure that the acquisition efficiency is properly taken care of. Third point, development. Development encompasses training of employees to perform their roles as per company needs. Development, see the word. What are development things? I am at one stage, now I have to go to a higher stage of evolution, that is development. We all know about the butterfly, how it develops from the tiny egg, it comes out of it slowly. You know, like a larva and all those stages we know. So development is always something which is of a higher order. Development is confirming the fact that there is a growth. Company is growing, you are working in the company. When the company is growing, the company is developing, and who is creating the development? You. So your development is an integral part of the organization. You cannot resent to the fact that I'm good in this, so I'll stay here. Those days are gone. Today, we would like to have people developing themselves time to time, month to month, year to year, and so on. Now, what is this development? Acquiring new skills to perform their roles. It's mentioned that every time you're going for every year after year, you adopt new roles. Now, these roles may come with a promotion, or these roles may come because of a restructuring of your job structure, of your job profile, but the roles are going to be different. When the roles are different, what is a role? A role is nothing but certain type of an action you're supposed to do, given certain control parameters by the company. You are called a certain name. Let's say you're called manager marketing, marketing manager. A role is given to you. You're supposed to play those roles to perform your duties, your responsibilities, and your accountability. So development is another important part of it. First, acquire people, they were suitable people. 90% of the battle is won. It requires a certain number of skills, as I told you. Next is, after they join the company, we need to develop them every year, year after year. It's an investment, not a cost. Because in development, we get what is called as return on investment. I'll discuss it when we come to that point later. So in this slide, you're seeing the point number 4. Implementation is continued in the slide. Development also involves need for employee behavioral change through reviews, appraisals, etc. Development also involves need for employee behavioral change through reviews, appraisals, etc. Need, underline the word need. It's a need. So let me talk about something which I'm going to speak in the future slides also. What is the development? In a development, what are we expecting? We are expecting you to come out with a new type of a behavior. I wanted to come out with a new type of behavior. That's development. Why a new behavior? Because only a new behavior will be producing new results. In your notebook, you can write down this particular type of a formula. Write down B1. B1 is the existing behavior. B1 is your existing behavior. Draw an arrow and write down another letter called B2. B2 is the expected behavior. B1 is the existing behavior. B2 is what I expect. Right? Is behavior measurable? No, behavior is not measurable. But what is measurable? Behavior B1, vertically down, draw an arrow and write down P1. P. What is P1? Performance, which is given by the behavior B1. A behavior B1, my existing behavior, is giving a certain performance. That performance in organizations is measurable. I'm coming at a certain time to the company. I'm working for so many hours. I am having certain types of habits and skills and behaviors, which is giving a certain output at the end of the day. Let us say that I'm coming at 9 in the morning, working up to 5:30 in the evening. I'm giving an output of 100 units, that is P1. Fair enough. As days progress, months progress, company is in a competitive environment. A company wants to develop itself, the macro picture. Now, who is the person who's driving the company among the 4 M's? Men, machine, materials, and money. It's men. You. So you, with your 9-to-5 behavior B1, you are coming out with a P1 which is 100 units per day. Over a period of few months, maybe 6 months or 1 year, there is a thing called a review. How well are you doing? Company says you're very good in what you're doing existing, but we want you to develop. There's a need for development. Need is very important and basic. Need is not a choice. It's like when I'm choked in a room without oxygen, I need oxygen. It's not a luxury. So the employee needs to understand that the development is his own need. It can't be taken as something the company is doing a punishment on you. You have to feel I'm in the flow of the growth of the company. You have to feel that I'm in the flow of the growth of the company. And so it's a need for me. If I am not in the flow, I will be left behind. I won't be able to get the skills which I need for the future. And so what will happen? At certain point of time, the company will say, fine, you're not learning, you haven't developed, and they may tell you to leave the company. So it's a need, right? So behavioral B1 is giving you P1. Now, company wants you to convert your behavior B1 to B2, a different behavior, because the company is giving you a new performance parameter called 200 units per day. Right now, I'm giving a very simple example. Don't take it literally. A 9-to-5 behavior of mine is giving a certain output P1 called 100 units. Company would expect me to develop a behavior B2, different from B1, wherein I must ensure that I'm giving 200 units consistently. Underline the word consistently. And all of you will agree, common sense will tell you that this 9-to-5, whatever behavior I'm doing is not enough if I want to grow. But do behaviors change willingly? Do behaviors change willingly? All of you know it doesn't change willingly. We are creatures of habit. We like the comfort zone of an existing thing. We don't want to come out of it. And so comes learning and development. The company puts you in a learning and development, tells you, look, you're doing well now, but we also want to do something extra. So you go through a learning and development intervention or training, as you call it. Do the changes happen in one single day of a training or 2 days of training? No. Behavior changes gradually. So in a learning experience, one has to go through inputs, and then gradually the person has to be encouraged to go to the new behavior, B2. Now B2 will be producing P2. So you may be coming from 9-to-5 again, but then your whole activities will start changing. It may not be the same. Okay. So development is a very important part, is a need for an employee, because it brings about a behavioral change. A behavioral change results in better skills. Better skills result in what is called as higher competencies. I'll repeat. A behavioral change means better skills. Better skills means higher competencies. Organizations want people to be competent in whatever they do. And that is expected from you once you're in the company, and hence development. The next bullet point, the next point, number 5, is talking about compensation. You're working for the company, you got yourself educated. The company takes you because you have certain type of intellectual capital, certain skills which you already have with you, or you're coming from already another company as a lateral recruit. Obviously, when you're coming and working in the company, you need something back in return. That's called as compensation. It's not just the salary, the monetary part of it. It is involving monetary and non-monetary rewards to the employees for their services. It's a feel good. It's a give and take. You're giving your brain and your bronze, your muscles, your work, physical work to the company, and then they give you something back in return. That is compensation in broader context. In this context, you have developed yourself from behavior B1 to B2, and you've done a great job. So how do I encourage you to maintain B2? I have to give you compensation. I have to give you better compensation, better benefits, monetary, non-monetary rewards. I have to give you better than what you were getting for B1. There's a third point. Last one, sixth point, is maintenance involves structuring labor relations and ensuring compliance with employment laws. What is maintenance? Something is going on. The camera is on and I'm getting shot for this video. Now the gentleman sitting behind Vijay will ensure that he's maintaining this thing properly so that the whole thing goes properly in line with what is expected from this particular video shooting. As simple as that. Similarly, after I give a learning and development to you, I change you from B1 to B2. It has got a process actually. We'll come to in the subsequent chapters, we'll cover it. So after that, what am I supposed to do? I was ensure that we maintain a good relation, labor relations. And we must also ensure compliance. Compliance means what? There are certain rules and regulations and duties which you're supposed to do. Some of them are written, some of them are unwritten. What are called as psychological contract. Ensure that this compliance is maintained. And also certain employee laws, rules and regulations. So this is a very important part of the whole process. So if I go back to the earlier slide, what are we talking here? Introduction to learning and development, right? And now we are talking about the four primary activities in implementation: acquisition, development, compensation, and maintenance.